Kalis Cheti Chatur Yugam.
Kalis Cheti Chatur Yugam.
Dvivyar Dvada Shabir Varshai. Sva Savadanam Nirupitam. Aitrevacha. Kritam Treta Dvaparam Cha. Kalis Cheti Chatur Yugam. Divyar Dvada Shivir Varshai. Shavadanam Nirupitam. Maitreya Vacha. Maitreya said, Kritam, the aid of Satya. Treta, the aid of Treta. Dwaparam, the aid of Dwapara. Cha, also. Kali, the aid of Kali. Cha, and. Iti, thus, Chatu Yugam, four millenniums, Divyai, of the demigods, Dwadashabi, 12, Varshai, thousands of years, Sa, Avadutanam, approximately. Nirupitam, ascertained. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Maitreya said, O Vidura, the four millenniums are called the Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali Yugas. The aggregate number of years of all of these combined is equal to 12,000 years of the demigods. Purport. The years of the demigods are equal to 360 years of humankind, as will be clarified in the subsequent verses. 12,000 of the demigods' years, including the transitional periods, which are called the Yuga Sandhyas, comprise the total of the aforementioned four millenniums. Thus, the aggregate of the above mentioned four millenniums is 4,320,000 years. The translation again, Maitreya said, O Vidura, the four millenniums are called the Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali Yugas. The aggregate number of years of all these combined is equal to 12,000 years of the demigods. Chadvari trini dve chaikam kritadishu yatakramam sankhyatani sahasrani dvigonani satani cha. The duration of Satya millennium equals 4,800 years of the demigods. The duration of the Treta millennium equals 3,600 years of the demigods. The duration of the Dwapara millennium equals 2,400 years, and that of the Kali millennium is 1,200 years of the demigods. That's Kali's pretty short. As forementioned, 1 year of the demigods is equal to 360 years of the human beings. The duration of the Satya Yuga is therefore 4,000 times 360. Or 1,728,000 years. The duration of the Treta Yuga is 3,600 times 360, or 1,296,000 years. The duration of the Dwapara Yuga is 2,400 times 360, or 864,000 years. And the last, the Kali Yuga, is 1,200 times 360, or 432,000 years, for which we passed 5,000 so far, and we only have 427,000 years left, so got to get busy. Text 20. The transitional periods before and after every millennium, which are a few hundred years as aforementioned, are known as the Yuga Sandhyas, or the conjunctions of two millenniums. According to the expert astronomers, in those periods, all kinds of religious activities are performed. O Vidura, in the Satya millennium, mankind properly and completely maintain the principles of religion. But in other millenniums, religion gradually decreased by one part as irreligion was proportionally omitted. Purport, in the Satya millennium, complete execution of religious principles prevail. Gradually, the principles of religion decreased by one part in each of the subsequent millenniums. In other words, at the present, there is one part religion and three parts irreligion. Therefore, people in this age are not very happy. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Viranta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatya De Sitarna. Krite Tadhayato Vishnu, Tretayam Yajito Mukai, Dwapayam Paricharyam Talok Tadhari Kirtana. That in Satyuga, people are always in meditation upon Lord Krishna. In other words, they had no conception of being anything other than Krishna's servant. Therefore, whatever they looked at, they only saw Krishna. Sarva Bhutastam Atmanam, Sarva Bhutuni Chatmani, Ikshite Yoga Yuktatma, Sarvatra Samadarshanaha. That the true yogi observes me in all beings, and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. Yomam Pashati Sarvatra, Sarvam Chamai Pashati, Tasya Ham Na Pranashami, Sachame Na Pranashati. And for one who can see me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. In other words, Ekadesha Sitar Jagna, Yatoshnas Vishtarasi Yata, Brahmasya Parasya Brahmana Shakti Satedam Akhilam Jagat. Just like fire is situated in one place, but expands its heat and light everywhere. So similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in one place, and all his energies have expanded everywhere. One who can see everything in relation to Krishna, that's called Krishna consciousness. And one who sees only things in relation to Krishna, that's called perfect Krishna consciousness, which was the normal consciousness in Satyuga to the greatest number of people. Now, according to Bhagavad Gita, that kritad dhyayatam Vishnu, in Kali Yuga it's dhyayato vishayam pumsam, sangasteshu pajayate. Everyone here in Kali Yuga, practically speaking, is contemplating the objects of the senses with the idea of controlling and enjoying them. Everyone is making plans how to contact the senses with their objects to achieve so-called enjoyment. Of course, those plans are not exactly our independent plans either. They're arising out of the modes of material nature, but we're accepting them due to our lack of complete knowledge. We think, when we're contemplating the objects, that these objects will make me happy, because that's what we've been trained up to think. In other words, by the process of sense gratification, one can become happy. And therefore, as soon as one begins to contemplate on that in that particular way, then at once, Maya provides lust. Dhyayato vishayam pumsam, sangas teshu pajayate, sangat sanjayate kama. Or as it said, that Maya is standing right by us. Krishna bahir mukha bhoga vanchitara. In other words, all we do is have to forget Krishna or turn away our consciousness, our attention away from Krishna's service, then at once we're captured by Maya. It is not very difficult to be in Maya. It is very difficult to make the effort to factually become conscious of Krishna, because we're already in Maya. Giriraj Maharaj was walking with Srila Prabhupada one time on Juhu Beach, and Srila Prabhupada made one philosophical point which Giriraj Maharaj responded saying, "Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. I didn't understand that point. Now I understand because I was in Maya." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, you were in Maya?" Prabhupada said, "You're always in Maya." Sometimes we make a little advancement, we think we've got out of Maya. But actually, even when we think we're out of Maya, we're still in Maya. As long as we haven't perfectly realized ourself as an eternal being, as long as we haven't perfectly realized Krishna, to some extent we're under the influence of the external energy called Maya. Therefore, our natural tendency is to look around and try and figure out what these different objects, what good are they for me? Everything we look at, we're trying to figure out, is this good for me? Is it not good for me? If it's good for me, I accept it. If it's not good for me, I just reject it. It's useless. We don't have to think about it, it just happens spontaneously. And then, when we decide something is good for my sense gratification, then I make some plan how to come in contact with it, how I can enjoy it. And if I can't enjoy, if it's a threat to me, I make some plan how to destroy it. And this produces something called illusion or delusion, a whole conception of life planned around the body, and the serving the senses, the impulses arising out of the modes of material nature, they produce a whole drama that goes on in the name of material life, which is just some drama, which is actually a dream, which is being staged by the material energy. It's a big drama that we think we're participating. And what is that drama, and especially in Kali Yuga? How to kill animals, how to have illicit sex, how to get intoxicated, and how to speculate. How to engage in frivolous sports for no reason and gamble. And people think that not only this is reality, but this is the purpose of life. Especially illicit sex, that is life to people. And of course, make it a little bit more enjoyable, it's a little spicier, a little intoxication, meat eating, kind of like just adds a spice to it. And other pastimes like gambling are quite popular nowadays. In other words, to have illicit sex and gamble and eat meat and get intoxicated costs money. Therefore, everyone wants to get that money for free by gambling. Just like people think, let's go to Las Vegas, and people, their casinos are just handing out money to everyone who comes. So I can go there, do a little gambling, and just collect the money they had waiting for me. And while I'm there, I can engage in my pastimes of illicit sex and meat eating and intoxication while I collect my money that they have waiting for me. These are the pastimes of Kali Yuga, and they're supposed to produce happiness. They don't advertise eat meat and get cancer. They never put some cancer patient on the poster, buy our choice of steak, and you have a cancer patient dying from cancer, tubes in and out of every body, part of his body. Enjoy. You never have a lung patient advertised for cigarette smoking. Blow in fire and smoke and be happy. And everything is advertised that this will help your life of sex life in the material world. If you buy this underarm deodorant, you'll become irresistible to all the opposite sex. They immediately surrender at your feet and ask you, how can I serve you? You have the irresistible underarm deodorant. So this is everyone's dream. Everyone is dreaming along, and that this will cause happiness. And when they hear that there are people who don't want to engage in these activities, some people think that that's quite good, other people think it's horrible. That people are wasting their life because they're not engaged in sense gratification that way. But the fact is, as Krishna says, Chatura Vida Bhajante Mam Jana Sukritina Arjuna Artha Jignasi Artharati Jnani Cha Bharatarshiva. That four kinds of pious people approach me. So the first pious person approaches Krishna is the Arti, those who are in distress. And why people are in distress? Because they're engaged in sense gratification. That's why they're in distress. Any desire for sense gratification will produce distress. What to speak of sinful activity, such as illicit sex, gambling, eating, and intoxication, they produce unlimited distress. And they all add to one another. Generally, the whole world is enchanted by Cupid, and therefore, because it requires a tremendous amount of energy to have illicit sex, therefore one has to eat meat to keep the battery going. But meat is very difficult to digest, therefore one has to take intoxication, in order to digest the meat, and in order to stay encouraged for sense gratification. Because ordinarily, when you're not intoxicated, you see that nothing is as beautiful as it is when you're intoxicated. Things become more beautiful. And therefore, intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, that's what keep all the things going. That's what the whole civilization is meant for. And all these attempts at economic development are just meant to decorate it a little bit. Instead of eating some dead animal from 5 years ago that was slaughtered, who knows what part of it, you put all the dead pieces of the animal in a nice box and decorate the box. And you think, well, it's a nice decorated box. Must be nice parts of the dead animal. Just like, and if there's any problem, then you make your publicity. Just like, children didn't want to eat McDonald's hamburgers when they heard that hamburgers come from killing animals. So McDonald's hamburgers had a strategy. They made trees in front of their hamburger. They put plastic trees in front of their hamburger places, and they hung the hamburgers from the trees. So the children thought the hamburgers came off the trees. You want to kill your child in the womb, you don't call it murder, you call it terminating the unwanted pregnancy. Or you give the dog a bad name and then you hang it. In other words, by some clever propaganda, manipulation of words, then people believe that what they're doing is actually good. When America comes over, some country throws its bombs, kills thousands of civilians, it's not called murder, it's called collateral damage. Just give it a different name. Because if you would happen to be part of the collateral damage, you wouldn't feel so good about it. But if other people are part of the collateral damage, it's not really very significant, because it's just collateral damage. What's the big deal? We just killed a few thousand people. But they're not really people, they're just collateral damage. They didn't feel any pain because collateral damage doesn't feel pain. Therefore, in out of illusion, people are convinced that this is reality, but actually it's the greatest source of misery, these activities. And when one gives them up, then one feels relief. And of course, the only way to give them up is to experience something beyond material consciousness. So therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna at the beginning at least can raise one enough from the material consciousness that one can gradually give up these activities. Not that these activities are pleasurable. People are thinking, just like one devotee, an iterative back to Godhead, he left Prabhupada's association in 1969. He complained that Prabhupada's denying the basic principles of love. He wrote a letter to Prabhupada complaining like that. So what was the story behind that? So Prabhupada had written him a letter saying he couldn't live with his boyfriend. So he didn't like that, and he complained to Prabhupada, I can't stay in the movement because you're denying love. So he thought it was love, but actually it's not really love, it's the source of misery. And when one gives up these sources of misery, then one gets at least freedom from distress to some extent. Therefore, the beginning of devotional service is called Klesha Agni. That is, it gets free from our distress. Unfortunately, out of ignorance, if we don't get out of our ignorance, we simply stop these sinful activities. Mentally, we think, oh, if only I could engage in these sinful activities, then everything would be nice. But somehow or another, I made this vow, or I'm in this association, and there is denying my inner desires. That it would be much better if the Hare Krishna movement only had three regulative principles, namely no meat, no fish, and no eggs. But because... I've taken this vow. Therefore, I'm being denied the actual happiness in life. Everyone else looks like they're enjoying, but except for me. But actually, everyone is suffering because they're engaged in these activities, but out of ignorance, which is the basic root cause of sinful life, people believe that this is the cause of their happiness. Known as bija, the seed of material desire, which produces papam, or sinful activities, which produce parabdha and aparabdha karma, manifested reactions and unmanifested reactions, which produce kutam, or tendency in the future, to the same sinful activities, which produce sinful desires. And it goes on in a circle, but it's sustained out of ignorance. So to break that ignorance, we're supposed to get knowledge, at least, that these sinful activities are not the source of pleasure, they're the sources of misery. Yehi samsparshya bhoga, dukha yona evate, adyantavanta kunteya na teshu ramate buddha. The intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact with the senses, with their objects. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and end, and so the wise person doesn't delight in them. So not that we don't eat, for instance, but not that I'm going to spend the whole day eating. One time Vishnu John Maharaj wrote to Srila Prabhupada when he was in Austin, Texas, I guess it was around 1971, and he wrote to Prabhupada saying that in my temple, everyone, all they want to do is eat prasadam all day. They don't want to do anything else. Is that all right? So Prabhupada wrote back, he said it was all right. But in between the bites, they should chant Hare Krishna. So the point is, not that we deny eating or even sleeping, mating and defending, but one doesn't make it his whole life. That's not the purpose of life. It's just, but one has to regulate these activities and at the same time try to practice Krishna consciousness. Try to act in such a way in devotional service is that we become conscious of Krishna and therefore be able to perform our activities out of devotion, without anxiety what materially I'm going to get out of this whole arrangement. Instead, becoming satisfied with pure devotion and consciousness of Krishna. And the more we become conscious of Krishna in that way, the more our heart becomes purified by association with Krishna, then the more we'll realize that these sinful activities are actually the cause of misery. That what I thought was the cause of my happiness was also actually the cause of my distress. But as soon as we begin to contemplate the objects of the senses, at once we forget everything, practically speaking. Therefore Krishna says, Shanai Shanaru Paramed Buddhya Drita Grihitaya Atma Samstamana Kritva Na Kinchit Api Chintaya. Gradually, step by step, with full conviction, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence, sustained with full conviction, and thus the mind should think of the self alone and nothing else. Shanai Shanaru Paramet Buddhya Drita Grihitaya Tato Tato Nichalati Manakchanjalamasti Ram Tatas Tato Niyamnyaita Atmaniva Nishamnyaya. From wherever the mind wanders to, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So rather than hanker for the objects of our senses, and then catching ourselves, always just hankering for the objects of the senses. Therefore I'm not chanting properly. Now it's time to lament that I wasted my time hankering. Then we start lamenting, wasting our time lamenting. So instead of going through hankering and lamentation, we should just try to fix our mind upon Krishna, try to get the higher taste, and higher taste means to actually associate with Krishna by chanting his name nicely, hearing his name, chanting it in such a way as we spontaneously we remember Krishna. Or at least, we enter into the mood of devotion. that if we chant devotionally to Krishna, happily at least, there may be different levels of devotion. Attentiveness is the beginning level of devotion. Happily, in a happy mood, is the next level. Feelingly is even higher. And then Krishna will give us the intelligence how to actually chant lovingly. Not that. Simply by our desire to do so. And if we chant lovingly, then Krishna reciprocates. He reciprocates at every step, but then it becomes more and more noticeable, Krishna's reciprocation. At first, when we're just trying to chant attentively, we're not so conscious of the fact that Krishna is the one who's giving us the intelligence to do it. We think we're making a big effort. But actually, we're simply surrendering to Krishna enough, so at least we have that much intelligence. He can give us that much intelligence to chant attentively, and therefore get free from all the other nonsense that we were engaged in. We think, oh, attentively, it's so boring. I have so many important things to think about. Why should I chant attentively? No, we have so much nonsense to suffer thinking about. But if we chant attentively, at least we won't suffer. So that's called at least freedom from distress, which in the material world is called happiness. Then, if we have enough presence of mind to chant attentively, then Krishna can give us more and more intelligence how to chant happily. When we realize that there's nothing to worry about, we're thinking, I have so many things to worry about. There's so many things going to happen in the future. We have a schedule, we have this and that. But what happens if the roof collapsed and we're all buried and we're about to leave our body? What would happen to our schedule? Wait a second, this roof can't collapse. I got my schedule, I got so many things to do. This is not part of the schedule. So our only real worry is that we're not conscious of Krishna. So somehow or another, we become conscious of Krishna, then we have nothing to worry about. Everything else is simply meant to help us become conscious of Krishna. Therefore, if we make a concerted effort by chanting our rounds nicely, attentively, and then try to accept the intelligence so that we make an effort to chant happily, feelingly, lovingly, then the result is that Krishna reveals himself more and more and gives us more and more intelligence how to make further and further progress in pure devotional service and Krishna consciousness. Then one can actually give up not only the gross platform, but on the subtle platform, one can give up all desires for sense gratification. One who lives free from desires is devoid of all desires. He alone can achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. Apurimanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti advā tadva kamiyam pravishanti sarve sa shantim atnoti nakamakami. That a person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the person who strives to satisfy such desires. In other words, if we engage in Krishna consciousness, this process of hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, trying to remember Krishna, serving Krishna, doing something for Krishna, then the result is that our consciousness becomes filled up with Krishna. And then gradually all these other things, this sense of proprietorship over the material world, the sense of wanting to enjoy the material world, the sense of false ego, of identifying with the material world, gradually it disappears. And then, vihaya kamayak sarvam pumam sharti nispriha nirmamo nirahankara sashanti madhigachiti esha brahmasiti parta nanyam prapibhimuyati sidvasyam antikalepi brahmanirvana richiti. That is the way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which man is never bewildered. Being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. We practice Krishna consciousness in this lifetime, make some advancement, some improvement, then we won't be bewildered, even at the worst moment, which is death. We won't be thinking, I'm about to die. We'll realize, I'm not about to die. I'm never going to die. I'm about to get another body, that's all. Either a spiritual one or a material one. But because I've engaged in Krishna's service, it's assured that at least I'll get the opportunity to engage in Krishna's service again. So he reasons ill who thinks that Vaishnavas die without living still and sound, that Vaishnavas die to live and living spread the holy name around. So this is Kali Yuga, the time when everyone's encouraged to engage in as much sinful activities as possible. They think progress is that to give people better opportunity for sinful activity. And they're amazed, so many problems. They can't understand why our leaders are so sinful, how even they claim that we're to protect the family, but they themselves are destroying the family. We can't understand it. How people are just normal, you know, everyday human beings, killing animals, getting intoxicated all the time, running around with everyone else's wife. This is happiness. And when we have time off, we just take our money and throw it away by gambling. We go to Las Vegas, also known as Las Vegas. And we have a good time. Like Banasura, he had 1,000 arms. He was waiting for someone to come and smash his pride to pieces because he was suffering so much by his false prestige. He wanted someone to come and smash him. So people are so bewildered trying to enjoy suffering so much, they just want to throw their money away because they don't know how to utilize it. But if one is fortunate enough to become Krishna conscious, get some understanding of what's actually going on, not becoming bewildered and influenced by modern propaganda and so-called education, which is just putting people deeper into the ignorance, then there's some possibility of giving up sinful activity, and then it becomes easier and easier to become Krishna conscious and engage in pure devotional service. I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Really sad.
I've also noticed, though, too, that sometimes a person may not be necessarily engaged in sinful activities, but they still have like a desire maybe to control things.
Well, that's sinful. Do things for Krishna. Without Krishna consciousness, practically speaking, it's not possible in this age. Without recognizing Krishna as being the controller and the enjoyer and the friend, then Kali Yuga, people are not capable of the other types of gradual progress through renunciation of their fruits of activities, cultivation of knowledge, meditation process. They're not capable of making sufficient advancement to overcome the strong force of Kali Yuga. Only through pure devotional service is this possible. So it's not that we're some small, weird cult, bizarre cult, handing out a bizarre formula for life. We're the only alternative. We're the only way. We're the truth, the light, and the way. And no one comes to the Father except through us. And we can say that in all humility.
But I guess that's part of the problem, though. It's like, you think that, okay, I'm doing this, and I'm doing it for Krishna.
Well, first of all, that's...
Krishna doesn't cooperate with me, so I'm mad now.
Yeah, well, that's another part of it. That's why we're also an illusion. Devotional service doesn't mean when we're practicing it, then we're perfect. And whatever we do is perfect, because I'm practicing becoming a devotee of Krishna, Therefore, whatever I do is perfect. That's also ignorance. Krishna Kripa.
Just a comment. You mentioned Las Vegas so many times that I went through there last summer on the way back from California. I came down at midnight. And the streets are just lined with families at midnight. It was insanity. You know, you'd see grandpa and grandma and their kids and the grandkids, and they're all walking around in the strip that's got 30-foot tall dancing girls, you know, on signs.
Yeah, well, it's because that's like mother hog has to teach her children hog how to eat stool. So they're training the children. They're training them up.
Maharaj, is Maya the cause of sinful activity? Or is there a good Maya or bad Maya?
Yeah, there's Yoga Maya. There's Krishna's Maya called Yoga Maya. And then there's Krishna's police force called Mahamaya. So they're neither one of them are bad. They're both good. It's we're bad. Just like the criminal complains, you know, this bad police force, they're always arresting me. They don't know who I am. They keep on interfering with my criminal activities because they're bad. No, Maya's not bad. She's just arresting us because we're engaged in criminal activity.
So we can ask Krishna for Maya, and I mean, there's nothing wrong in having Maya.
Yoga Maya.
Oh.
That's spiritual Maya. By engaging in devotional service, you come under the influence of Yoga Maya, or the spiritual energy of Krishna. And by rejecting devotional service and engaging in material activities, we come under the influence of Mahamaya, the police force. Just like the government gives equal money to the police force and to the educational department. It's up to us which one we want to take advantage of. Either we can study, become educated, or we can become criminals. Either way, the government's not asking us to become criminals, but that's our decision. We could have taken advantage of the educational system, then instead we decided to become criminals and take advantage of the police force. I think we're supposed to stop there. Grantharaj Shrimad, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande
Swami.
How many gigabytes does that have?
30 GB.
Do they have one with 40 in it?